Our scripture reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 40, and that's found on page 540, Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. I don't know if there's a word that I hate more than hearing someone say, wait. My children have an expression, I'm not sure where they got it, but in the middle of conversation, they'll just say, wait, and then they'll continue. And they're really not telling me to stop. It's just their way of saying, we're about to announce to you that we have a question. But I don't know what it is. I hear the word wait, and something happens. I know I don't have much hair on my head, but it's like the hair on the back of my neck just rises up. Anybody else hate waiting or being told to wait? So I want to just ask you here. Which of these, we're going to take a vote, which do you like waiting for least? Doctor's appointment or the ER, you go in. What is, they even have a room at the doctor's office, don't they? The waiting room. That's a warning, I think. Okay, or the emergency room, that's always tough. You go, you're in a situation that's an emergency. And if it wasn't an emergency, you wouldn't be there, but still, you're going to wait. Between these two, check out at the store or the doctor's office, which one do you like least? The store? The doctor's. Okay, so we got the medicine there. All right, the next one. Waiting for a person when you're on hold. Does that sort of top it? That just really gets to you. I think it's genius. The people who say, if you'll leave your number, we'll be happy to call you back. Don't you love that? It's like I can hang up and I can get a call back and I don't have to sit there. The other day, Mark was on hold with someone. Someone had double charged him. And about 45 minutes later, I said, Mark, what are you doing? He said, I'm on hold, Dad. I'm on hold. Traffic. You know, I did not realize just how much we can wait here in Fresno. On Thursday morning, I was down here for the prayer time, then went up, and we have traffic in Fresno. We have really bad traffic in Fresno where you can just sit, and especially when there's an accident and everybody has to see what's going on. But Los Angeles? Has anyone been stuck in traffic in Los Angeles in the last 3 weeks? Yep. Has anyone been stuck at the toll in the Bay Area? I mean, if you're stuck in a toll, one of my friends when I was living in Chicago came to visit me, and they were laughing so hard at me because as I was driving, it goes from 3 lanes to about 9 for the tolls. If one was even one car shorter, and I was over here, I was known to go and go all the way here to get one. And they would look at me like, Greg, really? For one car? I said, yeah, you never know. Traffic is probably the thing of all of these that I deal with most, where I hate waiting for. But one that just really that I can't stand because it inspires fear. When you're waiting for your last piece of luggage, not maybe if it's your only piece, but if your whole family has their luggage and yours is, you're waiting for yours to come out, breathe deeply. We're going to wait. We have to wait. We have to wait. Which of these do you like least? Is there anyone who's got one that's not up here that you say, no, by the way, this is what I hate waiting for? Is there anyone want to share it with us? 5, 4, 3, wait.
No.
What? What was that?
Waiting for your husband to come home from work.
I didn't hear that. yes, waiting for your husband. I hate it when you talk to my wife. Okay. See, waiting, wait, there was one more? Yes.
Waiting for the baby to come.
At least that one you're with joy. Oh, goodness. And now her husband walks in. Okay, anyway, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, actually you can also translate those who wait for the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I'd like to read that to you one more time. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'd suggest you take this passage and just meditate on it all week long. See, every one of us experiences waiting. It's part of what it means to be a human being, is to wait. I love this quote by Lewis Smedes. Waiting is our destiny. As creatures who cannot by themselves bring about what they hope for, we wait in the darkness for a flame we cannot light. We wait in fear for a happy ending that we cannot write. We wait for a not yet that feels like a not ever. Isn't that the story of our lives? We wait. We wait and we feel powerless to wait. And what Christians do as a result of this experience, we pray. We fast. We ask other people to pray because we're feeling like we're waiting and we just wait. See, waiting for the Lord is not simply waiting and looking at your watch, waiting and looking at your watch, waiting. When we wait for the Lord, we're actually extremely active. We may be sitting still, we may be on our knees, we may be hungry, but we're actually doing the most important and most active thing we can do. Waiting on the Lord or hoping in the Lord is what we do when we pray. Praying is how Christians wait on the Lord, because we are creatures. We can't light the flame. We can't write the happy ending. And we're hoping, we're praying that not ever really is not yet. See, this passage is so important to us because it shows us what the dangers, some of the dangers are that we face when we're waiting on God. Right there in verse 27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Go ahead and put your name there. I frequently hear, why do you complain, Greg? Complain, complain, complain. Aren't you glad God doesn't strike us dead when we complain? I mean, we would never complain to someone who had the authority to completely control or end our lives? We would be so even if we didn't respect them, we would act like it. Every one of our students has done that with teachers that they can't stand. But somehow with the Lord, we have no problem. And even before it was revealed to the people of God that they could address him as Abba or Daddy, remember Jesus made that really clear, that was a huge revelation that we find in him. The children of Israel were experts at complaining. Don't you actually enjoy reading the Old Testament when you realize, oh, wow, they're just like me? God's been through this with someone besides me. But he still asks the question, why are you complaining? See, one of the dangers that when we're waiting is that we complain. We become absorbed with self-pity. Why do you say Israel? That's a proper name for the people of Israel. My way is hidden from the Lord. My way is hidden from the Lord. I don't believe there's a person in this sanctuary this morning who has not felt and has not even verbalized, my way is hidden from God. God can't see what I'm doing. In fact, some of us fast because we think we'll get God's attention that way. The people of Israel, again, would put sackcloth and ashes on. Well, maybe God didn't see it. Now maybe he'll see it. Remember Jesus said, don't just pray over and over and over again the same thing. Because God doesn't say, you know, gosh, I'm so glad you prayed that 147 times. Because the first 146, I just didn't hear you. That's not what's going on. It's not that our way is hidden from him, but in his providence, he's saying that word that I don't enjoy. Wait. See, we could also accuse God of indifference. My cause is disregarded by my God. My cause is disregarded by my God. I believe God has us wait, even to drive us through these things, to reveal what's in our hearts, to reveal in me that I actually believe that the living God should be my servant. And that when I say jump, he asks me, how high? What would you like, Greg? You know how irritated you can get with your children when they treat you like they're servants? Imagine me treating God as if he's my servant. Actually, you don't need to imagine. Just come watch me. Because I do it all too frequently. Do you also? Do you fall prey to these dangers? And again, I believe God can bring us through these and start asking us questions. And I believe they're to show us the gifts that he has for us. Do you not know? Have you not heard? So we ask him, you know, why haven't you met me where I am? Why haven't you met my needs? Why haven't you done what I wanted you to do when I wanted you to do it? And God says, excuse me, I've got a few questions for you. He's not mad. He doesn't have his hand cocked back like he's going to whack us. But he invites us into a conversation. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. The creator of the end. He's speaking of himself in the third person. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. See, our God speaks to us. Instead of giving us the silent treatment, like, remember we do that, right? Well, maybe you don't. Yes, you do. He doesn't give us the silent treatment. He doesn't withdraw from us when we question, when we accuse, when we complain. He actually draws near and starts talking to us. And he reveals and reminds us who he is. He's the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He is not my servant. He is not your servant. He'll still serve us because he's so incredible and because he's so humble. But that's not who he is. That's not who he is. But then he promises. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait for the Lord, will renew their strength. See, God promises that he will be with us. He will supply what we need, even in the face of our complaining, even while we wait. And I think the key revelation reminder is that he has all the authority we need. He has all the authority. He's the creator. He is the one who's the everlasting God. He doesn't have to ask permission from anyone to answer our prayers. He has all the authority we need. He also has all the strength that we need. He does not grow tired or weary. How many of us in the face of needs that we observe, whether it's in our family, friends, our neighbors, we wish we could do something to help, but we just get tired, or we don't have enough resources to do it, or it's just the wrong time? That will never be the case with God. Never. He will never say, "Oh, I'm so tired. If you could just wait till the morning." Our God will never, I said in Armenian, he'll never make you wait to listen to him. He'll never tell you he's too tired for you. He'll never say he's busy. He never grows weary or tired. And, you know, he's, just so you know, he is smart enough. He is smart enough to know what we need when we need it. Frequently, that's where I complain to him. It's like, "Lord, if you really understood what was going on. Lord, if you, I don't know, I think I need to inform you." His understanding, one translation says, is inscrutable. We can't figure him out. Now, do you all know that God is smarter than you? Go ahead and raise your hand. If you believe that God is smarter than you, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, you can put it down. Then why do we act like he's not? Why do we act like he's a third grader? Or that he's not smarter than a third grader? Why do we feel that we need to tell him the way things really could be if he would only get on with it? Aren't you glad he loves us? Aren't you glad he loves us in the face of who we are? See, he supplies all we need. Those who hope in the Lord, even though we'll stumble and fall, even the young ones among us, even though we grow weary, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I love John Ortberg is actually my former roommate Ken's pastor up at Menlo Church in Menlo Park. And he was speaking on this and he said, there's three different ways birds can fly. The normal one that we see is that they just flap, right? And I mean, you might despise it. Oh, they just flap their wings and fly. Well, if you watch a hummingbird, right, isn't it incredible? Thousands per second, their wings are flapping, and they can just stay right there, defying gravity. But it takes a lot of energy. Second way is that they can coast. You see that at the beach, let the seagulls, they get going, and then they they just sort of coast around, and then if you've left some bread or a small child around, they might come and dive. They coast, but that only lasts so long. What does he say that those who wait for the Lord or hope in the Lord, how will they fly? They soar. And not every bird can soar. They have to be strong enough, their wings have to be strong enough to be able to catch the thermals, and they'll just open their wings, and then they'll just start to rise. And then they'll keep rising. With the only effort they have to do is to be still. Shall I say it? To wait. To wait for the hot air to come up and just position themselves in the right place. And then they're going. See, they're waiting, but they're moving forward. See, waiting for the Lord is not sitting still. Waiting for the Lord is to allow Him to strengthen us so we can go in the direction that He has in mind for us. Do you stand in awe when you see a vulture or an eagle or a hawk just soaring? Sometimes I'll stop in my runs and I'll just look up and say, oh my goodness, look. And they're just going. They're just going. See, and I usually stop, honestly, not just for them, because I do grow weary. They will run and not grow weary. Is anyone tired right now from running? You know the direction God is taking you. You're running, maybe a little slower than you want, but you're moving. He says you can run and you will not be weary. And weary has the connotation of wanting to quit. You can be tired. Have you ever been just exhausted, but you don't need to quit? You're going to keep going. I mean, I've seen this in my wife. I've seen this in so many young mothers. They're weary. They're exhausted. Oh, that's okay. We'll take your child from you. Are you? No, don't you dare. They will do whatever they have to keep going. They may be weary, but they're not stopping. See, that's the energy, that's the strength that God gives His people who will wait on Him. They will run, and they will not be weary. Now, some of you are thinking, okay, Bud, really fine. You talk about flying, talk about running. The best I can do right now is be on my feet, and I'm going to just try to keep walking. Notice that that's just fine. Soaring, running, walking, it's all good. You can walk and not faint. This is the involuntary stopping. Weary is I want to quit by my choice. Walking, he can enable us to keep walking without needing to stop. Are you hoping in the Lord? Are you waiting for the Lord right now? Because He promises that there might be days that you soar, there might be days that you run, there might be days where you are walking. But if you'll wait for Him, you'll keep going. You'll keep going. Now, some of you right now, it's feeling like you're at the carousel and you don't think your baggage is ever going to come. And you're done. And I just want to urge you, don't give up. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Some of you are running, keep it up. It is hard. Yep, there are hills coming. Some of you are soaring. Those of you who are soaring, please keep reminding us that it's the Lord and not you. Because then that'll encourage us to keep trusting, to keep waiting, because we know it's worth the wait. Amen. Please stand. and you don't have to wait anymore. Եվ հիմա մեր Տեր Հիսուս Քրիստոսի շնորհքը, հորասը Ձեզ, եւ Սուրբ Հոգուն հարուստակցությունը մեր ամենահետ լա. And now may the God of all grace, the creator of the ends of the earth, may he strengthen you with power beyond what you can imagine. May he give you everything you need to soar, run, and walk as you wait for him. Amen. Go in peace.